seemed to come in pairs and trios and whole gangs, never one by one. Psychiatrists have the most suicides per 10,000 members of the profession, Billy, but cops aren't far behind. Probably there was a combination of factors. This latest outbreak could have been the straw that broke the camel's back.
You should have seen him, Billy said grimly. That wasn't a straw. That was the fucking World Trade Center.
He didn't leave a note, so I guess we'll never know, will we?
Christ, Billy said, and ran a hand through his hair. Jesus Christ.
And the reasons for Duncan Hopley's suicide are almost beside the point, aren't they?
Not to me, Billy said. Not at all.
It seems to me that the real point is that your mind played you a nasty trick, Billy. It guilt-tripped you. You had this bee in your bonnet about gypsy curses, and when you went over to Duncan Hopley's that night, you simply saw something that wasn't there.
Now Houston's voice took on a cozy, you-can-tell-me tone.
Did you happen to drop into Andy's pub for a couple before you went over to Duncan's house? Just to, you know, get yourself up for the encounter a little?
No.
You sure? Heidi says you've been spending quite a bit of time in Andy's.
If I had, Billy said, your wife would have seen me there, don't you think? There was a long period of silence. Then Houston said colorlessly,
That was a damned low blow, Billy. But it's also exactly the sort of comment I'd expect from a man who is under severe mental stress.
Severe mental stress, psychological anorexia. You guys have got a name for everything, I guess. But you should have seen him. You should have...
Billy paused, thinking of the flaming pimples on Duncan Hopley's cheeks, the oozing whiteheads, the nose that had become almost insignificant in the gruesome erupting landscape of that haunted face. Billy, can't you see that your mind is hunting a logical explanation for what's happening to you? It feels guilt about the gypsy woman, and so...
The curse ended when he shot himself, Billy heard himself saying. Maybe that's why it didn't look so bad. It's like in the werewolf movies we saw when we were kids, Mike. When the werewolf finally gets killed, it turns back into a man again.
Excitement replaced the confusion he had felt at the news of Hopley's suicide and Hopley's more or less ordinary skin ailment. His mind began to race down this new path, exploring it quickly, ticking off the possibilities and probabilities.
Where does a curse go when the cursee finally kicks it? Shit, might as well ask where a dying man's last breath goes, or his soul. Away. It goes away. Away, away, away. Is there maybe a way to drive it away?
Rossington. That was the first thing. Rossington, out there at the Mayo Clinic, clinging desperately to the idea that he had skin cancer because the alternative was so much worse. When Rossington died, would he change back to... He became aware that Houston had fallen silent, and there was a noise in the background, unpleasant but familiar.
Sobbing? Was that Heidi sobbing?
Why is she crying? Billy rasped. Billy, put her on. Billy, if you could hear yourself, God damn it, put her on.
No, I won't. Not while you're like this.
Why, you cheap coke-sniffing little...
Billy, quit it!
Houston's roar was loud enough to make Billy hold the phone away from his ear for a moment. When he put it back, the sobbing had stopped.
Now listen, Houston said.
There are no such things as werewolves and gypsy curses. I feel foolish even telling you that.
Man, don't you see that's part of the problem? Billy asked softly. Don't you understand that's how these guys have been able to get away with this stuff for the last 20 centuries or so?
Billy, if there's a curse on you, it's been laid by your own subconscious mind. Old gypsies can't lay curses.
But your own mind masquerading as an old gypsy can.
Me, Hopley, and Rossington, Halleck said dully, all at the same time. You're the one who's blind, Mike. Add it up. It adds up to coincidence and nothing more. How many times do we have to go around the mulberry bush, Billy? Go back to the glassmen. Let them help you. Stop driving your wife crazy.
For a moment, he was tempted to just give in and believe Houston. The sanity and rationality in his voice, no matter how exasperated, were comforting. Then he thought of Hopley turning the tensor lamp so that it shone savagely up onto his face. He thought of Hopley saying, "I'd kill him very slowly. I will spare you the details."
"No," he said. "They can't help me at the Glassman, Mike."
Houston sighed heavily.
"Then who can? The old gypsy?"
"If he can be found, maybe," Halleck said. "Just maybe. And there's another guy I know who might be of some help. A pragmatist like you."
Ginelli.
The name had surfaced in his mind as he was speaking. "But mostly I think I've got to help myself."
"That's what I've been telling you."
"Oh, I was under the impression you'd just advised me to check back into the Glassman Clinic."
Houston sighed.
"I think your brains must be losing weight, too. Have you thought about what you're doing to your wife and daughter? Have you thought about that at all?"
"Did Heidi tell you what she was doing to me when the accident happened?" Billy almost blurted out.
"Did she tell you that yet, Mikey?"
"No. Oh, you ought to ask her. My, yes."
"Billy?"
"Heidi and I will talk about it," Billy said quietly.
"But don't you..."
"I think you were right about at least one thing, Mike."
"Oh? Well, good for me. And what was that?"
"We've gone around the mulberry bush enough," Billy said, and hung up the telephone.
But they didn't talk about it. Billy tried a couple of times, but Heidi only shook her head, her face white and set, her eyes accusing him. She only responded once. It was 3 days after the telephone conversation with Houston, the one in which Heidi had been sobbing accompaniment in the background. They were just finishing dinner. Halleck had put away his usual lumberjack's meal, 3 hamburgers, with buns and fixins, 4 ears of corn, with butter, 1/2 pint of French fries, and 2 helpings of peach cobbler with hard sauce. He still had little or no appetite, but he had discovered an alarming fact. If he didn't eat, he lost more weight. Heidi had arrived back home following Billy's conversation, argument, with Houston, pale and silent, her face puffed from the tears she had cried in Houston's office. Upset and miserable himself, he had skipped lunch and dinner, and when he weighed himself the next morning, he saw that he had plummeted 5 pounds to 167. He stared at the figure, feeling a coldly fluttering swirl of moths in his gut.